In search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another episode of our program In Search of Piety. In our previous episode, we mentioned some points about a famous companion of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, some points of excellence related to him, some titles that he was given, and some inspiring accounts from his life. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was accompanied by such great personalities who were inspired by, taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam himself. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma was one of those amazing companions who directly interacted with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam on many occasions, and he was taught the Quran directly by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam himself. In today's episode, I would like to share with you some points related to him, but more importantly, some of his very own statements. And it is interesting that Hafiz Abu Nu'aym mentions in his Hilya, he mentions quite a few statements of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala, and because he was a scholarly companion, he was a companion who had a special rank of excellence among the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. But before I mention some more points or some more accounts related to Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an, I would like to share with you a narration which expresses the importance, the excellence of sending blessings in favor of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It is mentioned that as long as an individual sends or expresses a prayer of blessing for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, the angels continue to send blessings upon that person, or send mercy upon that person rather. So the one who is expressing this prayer of salat ala nabi, this prayer of, or the supplication of blessings for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, as a response, an angelic response, the angels send mercy upon that person. Now it is up to the person, as the narration says, it's up to the person whether he reads more or he performs this action more or less. So for us as members of the nation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, as an expression of our appreciation, as an expression of our love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, it's very important for us to send salat ala nabi, what we commonly refer to as durood sharif, this prayer of blessings in favor of the best in creation, al-Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, with this hope that we attain success, blessings, mercy in this world, and we also succeed in the hereafter by being blessed with the intercession of the beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Moving on to our episode, the title of today's episode is Sweetness of Faith. Now, in terms of sweetness of faith, which is the title of our episode, this expression is mentioned in different hadith narrations. In today's episode, what do we mean by sweetness of faith, or does it refer to a particular narration? Inshallah, later in this episode, we will reveal all. First, I would like to share with you an account which mentions or refers to Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an. It is reported by Sayyidina Zayd bin Wahab radiyallahu ta'ala an, who says that I was in the company of, or I was with, Sayyidina Huzaifa and Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, the famous companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. So Sayyidina Zayd said, I was sitting with both of these companions, and one of them asked the other about a particular hadith. And the question was, have you heard such and such hadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam? The other answered by saying, no, he had not heard such a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Then the first one said that the person who resides in that house, gesturing or indicating a particular house, he says that this hadith is from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, then he has spoken the truth, or that his statement is true. And he explained this by saying, this is because when we were stopped from entering the prophetic court, Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu is explaining, when we were stopped from entering the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he even during that time was granted permission to be in the prophetic presence, to be in the court of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Meaning that when we were absent, this particular individual who was referred to as residing in a particular house, this person was still in the company, or was still granted the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Sayyidina A'mash rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said that the resident of that house was Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an. So just reflecting upon this narration, two companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam are discussing a particular hadith, and they want to verify or confirm whether this is rightly attributed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. When one of them mentions that the resident of a particular house nearby claims that this is a hadith which is attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, or it reaches the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari acknowledges the fact that if this is the case, then this is true, because the personality that is being referred to is such a personality that when others were told to leave or were not allowed to enter the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was one of those who was granted permission to be in the prophetic presence. This highlights the importance, the rank of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an. And remember, as far as hadith methodology is concerned and the principles of hadith are concerned, many people, they think it's a simple process of collecting and verifying hadith. And this is not the case, because the verification process, from the biographies of the reporters to the actual terminologies that are used to describe particular reporters, whether a reporter is thiqah, is reliable, whether a reporter is saduq, he's trustworthy, whether he's mastur, meaning his state is veiled, whether he's majhulul ayn, majhulul hal, is he unknown in terms of, absolutely unknown, is he unknown in terms of his state, what kind of narration it was, in terms of how many people does he narrate from, were they from the same era, what was the reliability of others in this chain. So many discussions when it comes to hadith verification and the science or the principles of hadith. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala were very careful about anything that was attributed to, a statement that was attributed to the beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, or what we commonly refer to as a marfu' hadith, a hadith which reaches the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. As far as the knowledge of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu is concerned, another report reported by Sayyidina Zayd bin Wahab, in which he mentioned that Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was Amirul Mu'mineen during that time, he mentions how he entered a particular place, and Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an was present there as well. Referring to him, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an said, the Amirul Mu'mineen of the time, he expressed this statement. He said, what a complete faqih, a complete jurist, meaning Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, in the opinion of the second Khalifa of the Muslims, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an was considered to be a complete jurist, one who was complete in his understanding of the religion. Again, this highlights his rank among the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Sayyidina Abu Atiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he reports that Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, he expressed the following statement that when Abdullah, the great scholar, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu is present, meaning he is among us, do not ask me any question. Meaning in the presence of such a great scholar, it is only worthy that any question regarding the religion is forwarded to him. That's how great his knowledge is. And Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a very senior, knowledgeable companion himself. But he himself is declaring to the people in his presence that when Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu is present, you ask him the questions. Once Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was asked about Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud. In fact, the people asked him a question. They said, tell us about the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu told them to specify, you know, which companion do you ask about or which companion do you want to know about? And then one of them said that we want to know about Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an. In response, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an said, he is a scholar of the Quran, and this is sufficient for him, meaning his knowledge of the Quran is something which suffices in terms of his rank of knowledge and understanding in terms of the religion. In another narration, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an said that he recited the Quran and he contemplated or he reflected upon the Quran to such an extent that it became sufficient for him. Meaning Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an was not only a man who understood, who recited the Quran, he was a man who was blessed with the understanding of the Quran. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, who was previously described by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam as being the door in the house of wisdom. And this Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an is acknowledging the knowledge that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an possessed. Now moving on to some of the statements of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, inspiring, a lot of lessons can be learnt from his words. But before we mention any specific statements of his following the routine and the manner or the style of, Hafiz Abu Nu'aym Asfahani mentions as part of his routine that the scholars of tasawwuf have said, as a definition of tasawwuf, that to maintain the correctness of a matter in such a way that the destinations remain sound, this is the essence of tasawwuf. Now, as far as the metaphorical meaning of this statement is concerned, then they know best regarding it. It could be an indication of the fact that the matter of tasawwuf is based upon the obedience, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the soundness in this regard will ensure that the phases or the levels of acceptance that are attained during this journey of self-purification are attained, or these levels and phases are attained in the best way or in the most correct way. The scholars of tasawwuf were people who were striving on the path of self-purification in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and often with a very powerful example, or setting a very powerful example of asceticism, not having an inclination to this world. Moving on to the specific statements of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an. The first one that I would like to share with you, the first series of statements I can say regarding the Hafiz of the Quran. Yes, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, he once shared his thoughts about the one who memorized the Quran, or a Hafiz, what should his character be like, or what are the character traits that he must possess. It is reported that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an said that a Hafiz of the Quran should be someone who protects the night when others are sleeping, meaning he should be one who rises or is awake to recite the Quran when others are sleeping, and he should not be heedless in any way. He also said that when people are eating, he should be one who protects his day, meaning his day should be spent in fasting. This is ideal for a hafiz of the Quran. Then he says, when other people are happy, he should be in a state, a solemn state, a serious state, meaning he should be someone who is thinking about his hereafter. He says, when people are laughing, he should be one who sheds tears. He also mentioned that when people are in some form of elation and joy, they're celebrating something, he should be in a state of silence. So he's contemplating when others are enjoying. He mentions that when people become prey to arrogance, the hafiz of the Quran should be one who expresses the utmost humility. He also mentions that the hafiz of the Quran should be one who cries, meaning cries in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should be one who possesses wisdom. He should be one who possesses forbearance, one who has knowledge and contentment. And he should not be someone who is bitter, who is heedless, who is disruptive, who shouts a lot. And he should not be one who has a very austere nature. And this is something which people associate with religious people. They think if it's a hafiz of the Quran in the old days, hafiz sahab who's teaching the hifz class will have to have a cane in his hand and he will discipline the children. But this is very different to what Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu would like to see in a hafiz of the Quran, or the way he wanted to describe a hafiz of the Quran, that he is a person of forbearance and he is a person who possesses these beautiful character traits, refraining from things which deter people from this path of the Quran. Another very powerful statement reported by Sayyidina Yahya bin Wathab radiallahu ta'ala an, he said that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an once said that I dislike the one who remains free, meaning a person who is lazy. And he continued to say or explain what kind of laziness. He said, the one who neither involves or engages himself in a matter of this world, nor does something for the hereafter. So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an is expressing his dislike for the one who is lazy, idle, in such a way that he neither does something for himself in this world, nor does he do anything for his hereafter, for the betterment of his hereafter. This is something to reflect upon, dear viewers. We are living in an era where a lazy lifestyle, a laid-back lifestyle, a lifestyle of reclining has become the norm. A few years ago, an article was written about the lifestyle of people in the UK, and one of the shocking points mentioned in that article was that 95%, yes, not 50%, not 70%, 95% of the people in the UK were considered to be lacking the basic 30-minute exercise time period five times a week, which is considered to be a must for normal people to be in a healthy state. 30 minutes of medium to vigorous exercise five times a week is not being done by 95% of the population, according to research, in an article written more than 4 years ago. So what do you think the state is today when technology has advanced even more, when people are literally sitting at home and ordering food from their mobile phones, when everything is being done at home? The fact of the matter being that ancient civilizations, they understood the importance of activity, the importance of being active, walking, exercising for one's health. People talk about not smoking. Smoking is bad for your health. But the lack of exercise that is taking place every week is the equivalent of smoking a whole pack of cigarettes, according to research. The kind of illnesses from type 2 diabetes, eventually dementia, types of cancer. We have people who have illnesses related to their heart, are down to poor diet and a lack of exercise. A lot of these things can be avoided or even delayed until a very late stage in life if one lives to that till that age. But the fact that young people, even children, have developed this lifestyle of sitting for long periods of time. One study showed that people were spending an average of 3 hours in front of the television. That was a minimum. And the reality might be a lot worse, that people are, if it's not television, it's games consoles that children are engaged in. Not just children, young adults are very engaged in such matters to such a degree that some of them, they have seizures. Yes. They have seizures because of the prolonged time that they spend in front of a screen and the flashing images that they continuously see, the effects on their brain and their general well-being. If we do not wake up from this, and if we do not change the lifestyle that we've become accustomed to, meaning a lifestyle where there is not enough exercise and activity, we are inviting, we are opening the doors of illness and calamities for ourselves. We are bringing all these problems to ourselves without knowing or without caring. And that is the more worrying thing, that this body that we have and the life that we have is a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we are not walking for, say, an hour a day or 45 minutes a day, and if we are not focusing on what we are consuming, our level of consumption, maybe a cost of living crisis will help us to assess and to look at our consumption, generally speaking, just to see, do we really need the things that we are using? Do we really need to buy the things that we are buying? Maybe this is a blessing in disguise. We have never thought of it this way. But we have to become people who turn away from laziness, because there is no success in laziness. This is the greatest calamity as described by our ulama. A person who has no sense of endeavor does not succeed in this world and does not succeed in the hereafter. Sayyidina Murra radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala and said that when you are engaged in prayer, it is as if you are knocking on the door of a king. And if you continue to knock on the door, that door is eventually opened. And it was a metaphor that he was using, without comparison to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was just for understanding. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala and is saying that when we are praying, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the guidance, to grant us His mercy. We are seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are seeking the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is likened to the knocking on the door of a king. When we continue to knock, meaning we continue to pray, we maintain our routine, we can hope that eventually that door will open, eventually acceptance will be attained, eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our supplication and we will attain success in this world and in the hereafter. But we must maintain that level of endeavor. We must remain engaged in our efforts of prayer, in our efforts of supplication. Sayyidina Ma'an radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that stay in a state of wudu. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you hear the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, meaning the direct address to the believers, then pay attention or pay special attention, because after this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command an act of good, an act of piety, or He will prohibit an evil. So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an is advising the people to remain in a state of wudu, and when Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu is mentioned in the Quran, when it is heard, special attention is given because of the command or prohibition that is mentioned thereafter. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an gave so many pearls of wisdom in terms of how we must spend our lives, how we must focus in prayer, how we must approach the Quran. And it is up to us to follow these words of advice in our search for piety. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that what we have heard, what we were reminded of, is a means of inspiration for us. Ameen bi jahi nabiyyi al-ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
In search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety.